have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. My mic is right there. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, a doozy, a mama mia, a commentary, boo. How have you treated yourself all of your life? Or if you want to be white and absolutely correct, how have you treated yourself all your life? But if you want to be black, and it doesn't matter either way, how have you treated yourself all of your life? I like that way better. You black, we have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're running around, you know, because we are heard around the world, and so it's different time zones around the world. So some people in all time zones are doing something and they just can't watch the show. So they podcast, and you can do that. But you can listen on your phone by calling the listen line anywhere in the world on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bun JLP Cash App. Manhood Hour is coming up in the third hour. It is Wednesday. And every Wednesday in the third hour, rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Amazing. It is hotter than 90 going north in Los Angeles. It's so hot, it makes you want to slap your mama. I have with me your friend, our friend, my friend, the world's friend, and the man I predict at some point will be the president of the United States, Bill Lockwood. And Bill is the host of Patriotic Pulpit and Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. He's a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ in Texas. And I want to encourage you to support him. His work is amazing. And we need to support him because we need men to stand up. All right. And Bill Wood is doing that. Go to American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. And we'll get it out again. Bill, good morning. And how are you?
Good morning, Jesse. How are you today?
All is well. Happy Men History Month.
Okay. Well, that's a great month.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to, before we leave this morning, I want to get a Men History Moment from you, if you have one. But first, Bill, I want to know, before I get to, I have these questions I want to ask you about, what's your impression of the work Donald Trump is doing and the reaction to it?
Well, my impression is that Donald Trump is doing, number one, exactly what he said he was going to do. Number two, he is absolutely trying to roll back the gigantic socialistic style government that we've had and bring it back to the people. And we've seen that movement, and I think it's largely successful. And it's largely successful because, in part, we see the Democrats' reaction to it. They just cannot see straight. And so every single thing that he does, they are in the objective mood, in the objective case and kick it of mood. They just absolutely object to everything that he does,
yeah.
In spite of the fact that he's cleaning up crime, which he is constitutionally enabled to do in Washington, D.C., and he's rolling back the tentacles of government that are strangling American businesses. And all of these things are good. They're the opposite of what the Democratic Socialistic Party wants to do, which is represented by, of course, the man running in New York for governor, Mandami.
Mandami. Whatever his name is.
Bill, right.
When I observe Donald Trump doing what he's doing, it reminds me of when I was growing up. And America was like that, what he's trying to do. You know, and it's really amazing and really nice to see a man standing up. And in spite of all the things that he has to go through, he is working desperately to bring America back to order. And I want to know, what are the Democrats thinking? I mean, this guy, he bring back job, manufacturing, close the border. In D.C., it's been reported that not one homicide has happened in a week or so. What are the Democrats thinking that their voters are thinking of them?
I don't think that they're in touch with the voters of America. Now, they may be in touch with some of the radical leftists, the university professorships, for example, and maybe some in the mainstream media and some in Hollywood. But they are simply out of touch with what is going on in the streets of America and what the American people actually need and want. One Democrat said the other day that we don't care about such things as carjackings and thievery going on in Washington, D.C. on the streets. We don't care about those things.
Well, yeah.
that's exactly right. they don't care about that.
Yeah.
And their policies actually exacerbate the problems and have encouraged it. So I might say this, that the Democrat policies have actually brought about this reckless lawlessness that we see on the streets, which always in history has brought about a heavier hand of government from the top down. The reason that National Guards are needed in certain places is because we have chaos on the bottom set by Democrat policies. No cash bail, for example. And so people are allowed on the streets, yeah, and they're committing crime. And pretty soon the people cry for some kind of relief. And the only thing that they can get is from the National Guard. So then you have some kind of a military rule. But that's what the Democrats have played all these years. This,
yeah,
is exactly what they've brought about. So now Trump is saying, well, we're going to have to bring the National Guard in to Chicago. And there's like, they've called down the thunder, so you know,
that's for sure. The you mentioned Chicago. They have a black mayor, and they had a black mayor before that, and it's the blacks who are really suffering, especially due to crime and stuff. And you would think, I would think that the black mayor would be happy that somebody is coming to help clean up the crime for the black people to kind of have a relaxing life for a minute, because this has been going on for years in Chicago, black-on-black crime. Why doesn't he care about that, Brandon Johnson?
Well, I think the same thing is going on with people like Jasmine Crockett. She went to Harvard University or an Ivy League school, and she has been brainwashed. She comes back to Texas, And she wants to pretend that she's, you know, from the ghetto and talk like a ghetto and just kind of get into that. And it's like, and she just crosses herself coming and going and they seemingly unaware of the self-contradiction that they make, which shows that a person is not sincere. The same thing with the Brandon Johnsons of the world. They have absolutely been brainwashed by what's going on in our university culture or the educational culture of America that has been nothing but hate America, denigrate America's founding, talk about how bad the white people have been, and talk about slavery and stealing Indian land, and on it goes. And next thing you know, they simply hate America. They hate the founding of country. They hate the constitutional framework. And they are all about going right into socialism.
But what I, and you're right, and I see that happening, but these people like Jasmine Kirkett, Brandon Johnson, and others, they pretend to really care about black people, and they tell the blacks or ask the blacks to vote for them. The blacks vote for them because they're black, but yet they don't seem to care that the blacks are killing one another, black. In their, I mean, just sitting in the front room of their home and everywhere. What's wrong with the blacks?
Well, in my view, Jesse, hatred has overcome hatred. Yeah. Hatred of the culture, hatred of white people, hatred of the majority culture. That hatred has overcome the rational thinking. Consequently, the same thing, for example, is going on in Hollywood. Many people in Hollywood putting out violent movies, they don't allow their own children to see the violence that they themselves, the actors and actresses, portray on the screen because they know it is deleterious to the growth of those children. The same thing is the case regarding many people in the black culture. And I go frustrated because not many people want to call this out, but there is a deep-seated hatred that has been built into black African-American studies. And that hatred has overcome the rational thinking.
That's amazing. It's so, so true. Because it wasn't like that when I was growing up in Alabama. We were taught to treat everyone the way that we would like to be treated. And that were good and bad in all people. So there are some people who overcome evil. And there are those who are not. And that we had to treat people the way we would like to be treated. That's gone now, for the most part, within the black people.
Yeah, for the most part in the black community, that's right. It has disappeared. Yeah. And so what we're seeing is those, at least who are in the front, on the front lines and getting all the news coverage, they're the ones who are filled with hatred. And it's very, very sad.
Let me ask you about the whites. Every day there is a report of some sort of white people being beat up, stomped in the face and knocked out and robbed and raped by black people or now some illegal alien or so on. And whites don't seem to, they won't stand up for themselves. Why not?
Well, the same reason that we have so much hatred in the minority cultures, and that is because the whites have been, number one, brainwashed to believe that somehow we've been racist and we have all racism, if you talk about, if we even talk like we're talking right now on the radio, then they're going to say, okay, you're racist. And we just run from that. And we say, okay, we don't want to be called a racist. And so, and this is how we've been marinated in our educational system. So we're marinated against, we're marinated in the idea that you can't say anything against the minority culture. You can't say anything for, here's a perfect illustration. You can't say anything against Islam. Islam teaches hatred and physical violent force against other cultures. And yet, and that's how Muhammad behaved. And yet no one wants to talk that way. No one wants to call it out. No one wants to say, this is what Muhammad practiced. This is the Sunnah. This is the biography of Muhammad. This is the Hadith. That's what he supposedly said. And this is his biography, the Sunnah. This is what he did. This is the Quran. But no one wants to call it out. Instead, we want to talk about the so-called violence of the white supremacist in America. You know what? how many countries have been taken over by white supremacy? I mean, that's, but yeah. Islam through the centuries have taken over many countries with the edge of the sword. When Muhammad died, there was not one person that disagreed with him on the whole peninsula of Arabia. That does not come about from freedom of thought, Jesse. That comes about from violence and force.
But what I don't get, Bill, I understand now that white people have been made to feel guilty. 35 years ago, I was saying to the whites, y'all better start speaking up, because when you don't speak up, it shows a sign of weakness, and it brings out the worst in your enemies when they find out that you're weak. And then they had the knockout games where the blacks were knocking the white people out and laughing about it and blah, blah, blah. And now they're, like, stomping them and pulling them and dragging them across floors. What about self-protection? I mean, so when they're being knocked out, the women, too, are being knocked out on the streets and everything. Are they thinking why they're being knocked out? I can't do anything because of, I may be called racist, or they're doing this because of slavery. Are they thinking that why they're being brutally attacked?
Well, I don't know about personal people thinking on those subjects, but I'll say this. In the white culture, we have been trained to avoid pointing out racial components of any of these things. So, for example, we talked last time about what happened in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Well, we've been trained, the white culture has been trained to not look at the racial component of anything. We don't want to talk about the racial component of anything. And so we've been trained, and we just kind of follow along that way. So that's what happened. For example, in airlines, you know, they might pull a grandmother, a little white grandmother, out of line to frisk her if she's sitting in a wheelchair, because they don't want to look like, you know, we're pulling this Muslim out of line over here. When what happened at, you know, what happened in 2001? We are absolutely training ourselves to avoid looking at the racial component of these things, and we don't want it. It makes white people very uncomfortable to talk about it. So, for example, that kid that shot the other kid in Dallas, I've forgotten their names. You know,
yeah,
at the
track meet.
At the track meet, the black kid stabbed him.
Right.
Okay. His daddy got on television immediately and said, "Now, no one make a racial thing about this. You're avoiding the subject. We are avoiding the subject. We don't want to talk about it. We're fearful of being called racist and whatever it may be, but we have been trained not to talk about those things."
And so are you saying, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but are you saying that when they're physically attacked by blacks, they're afraid to say, "I was attacked by a black person. I was allegedly stabbed by a black person"? The white people are afraid to say that about a physical attack?
Well, yeah, they're afraid to say, right. That's exactly right. They're afraid
wow.
It's absolutely incredible to me. They're afraid to say, okay, I went into the black part of town and I was afraid. They don't want to say that. Even though that's exactly the case, they don't want to say it that way because, boy, you know, the mainstream media is going to chew you up and spit you out and act like, you know, people are people and blah, 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 which, of course, in one sense is true, but we are avoiding the subject. We just avoid the subject. And so but this goes back also, Jesse, to the Marxist idea. The Marxist idea is to divide America up along racial lines. You know, original Marxism divided it up between the those that haves and those that have not. But then they came along, Antonio Gramsci and those of Italian socialist Marxists said, we're dividing it up along racial lines. And so the whole goal to bring America to its knees was to divide America along racial lines. So look what happened, for example, in St. Louis. Michael Brown and the white cop.
Yeah.
Okay, well, see, you have the whole force of the government at that time, Obama and Eric Holder, coming down with the full weight of the federal weight on top of Darren Wilson and the court system there, and going into the police police system and saying, let's just ferret out where how many tickets have you given to black people? How many tickets have you given to white people? That it's just harassment. It's harassment. And so people just they want to avoid it. That's the way the culture has gone. Well, Darren Wilson, for example, I guess he's in hiding. I don't know. You don't ever hear anything from him. And Michael Brown is still talked about like a hero.
Yeah. And so white people, do they not realize that a genocide is happening to them in America in the same way it happened to the white people in South Africa? Do they see a genocide happening on them right now?
I don't believe so. I mean, some people have awakened to the fact, but we're awakening a little bit too slowly, but I don't think that many people are waking up to that fact that there's a genocide going on, that this is actually purposeful, and to divide the country along racial lines and cause this uprising in the black communities. That's very purposeful. And the Democrats are all about that. The Democrats are all about that.
You mentioned the socialist thing that's happening, Marxist thing. What's wrong with the individual people or person that would allow, as an adult, that would allow someone else to control their life like that? I can't imagine allowing anyone to control me. I don't know how to think that way. I don't know how to think that way. And I know I was raised not to let anyone control me without saying it out loud, but what's wrong with the individual adult, man or woman, that they just let other adults, whether it's government, friendship, marriageship, or anyship, what's wrong with the individual that they just let someone else control them, intimidate them, control them? What's wrong with that person when that happens?
Well, it's just like in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 8. The Israelites were free. They had a system of judges that God had set up as their system of governance. But yet they wanted to be like the nations about them, and they were also fearful. They wanted someone to be able to fight their battles. They had sinned. God allowed them to be taken into slavery upon several occasions because of their sin. But they were absolutely fearful about it. So they cried to Samuel, the last of the judges, and said, we want a king to be like the rest of the nations. And Samuel stood there and warned them. He said, if you get a king, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be and he basically said, you're going to be in slavery. He will take up to 10% of your goods himself for the government. By the way, we're past that in our country right now. But
yeah,
he said he will conscript your sons and your daughters as to work in his palaces. He'll confiscate your lands. They wanted it anyway. They wanted protection from the foreign nations and to be like the other nations and to have a king that go before them. And that is just mob mentality. And a lot of people have trouble individually thinking for themselves that where does this go? Yeah. Where does this lead? They just don't look at it that way. They say, well, I want protection now, and I'll be happy if a National Guardsman stands outside my door. Well, you know what? That, of course, is not the answer to it.
That's amazing. One other quick question, or two quick questions. Number one is, Cracker Barrel situation. They had taken the cracker out of the cracker.
you're gonna make me spit my coffee out my nose.
And Donald Trump, like, no, put the cracker back in cracker. And now they are putting the cracker back. What do you think about that whole situation? And they have allowed women to take, from what I've read and heard, they allow women to take over Cracker Barrel, and they the one decide to make it look all weak and whatever. But what do you think about that whole situation?
You know what? I think that Vivek Ramaswamy has written a book called Woke Inc., and it is one of the best books that actually dissects the problem that we have in American mentality with wokeism, which is basically Marxism. And he just goes through it and shows how the major companies try to go woke and why they do it, and the political pressure that is placed upon them from government entities, social entities, educational institutions, the mainstream media, and the pressures that are moving us toward a Marxist worldview. So that woke mentality is how some of these CEOs, evidently, Jesse, have been trained. And so they are following along, just like many, like BlackRock and others, trying to be woke in what they're doing. But the American people spoke loud and clear. You know what? We're tired of that kind of stuff. People, I'm glad they spoke out, said, no, yeah, no, put the cracker back in Cracker Barrel.
Bring you the cracker back. My friend Owen Sawyer said, well, the only cracker we got left now is Cracker Jack. And
well, I suppose that'll go with the way right. of all the earth, too. When I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, I lived in Memphis area. You know, I lived in, actually, it was Earl, Arkansas, which I was going to school in Memphis. And we did a place called Po-Folks. And I don't know if they even still have that or not, but that might be so politically incorrect.
Right.
I really enjoyed Po-Folks, but it was kind of the same culture, you know. It's just that kind of a home cooking and just a countryfied area. So anyway.
When we had all that in America, America was fun in those days.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was fun.
Now, well, I could walk in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, go to old bookshops on the Riverwalk there, look for books in different places today. I don't live in that area, but you know what? I understand you don't go walking down that area.
Right.
That's just right. You have to be careful about it, or if you do, you better be careful. So
that's amazing. So, Bill, I want to know, they said that, let me see, I think I was Superstaff of Mike. Hey, Bill, what do you think about? Oh, we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
I don't want to stop the flow right now. Bill, they say that this is America is was originally established as a Christian country. And I want to know, what does that mean, and what does that mean now, today? Or what does that not mean?
Right. Well, that is a great question, Jesse. So here's an interesting thing also. So when you read the Princeton professors such as Kevin Cruz, who wrote a book, One Nation Under God, and he questioned that, and One Nation Not Under God, he started his whole thesis looking at the Eisenhower years of the 1950s, saying, well, Eisenhower wanted to establish the idea that we were a Christian nation and basically pointed out that that was a fallacy. We were never a Christian nation. We were a secular nation. The truth is that is false. Our founding fathers, almost with one voice, and the Supreme Court stated we were a Christian nation. But it is important to note what was intended by that. Today, they want to blacken that idea by saying, well, that you're saying that we should have Christian nationalism. So let's clarify what the distinction is here.
Okay.
A Christian nation is simply a nation, as we were founded, that was founded upon the principles of Christianity, the principles of limited government, individual rights. In order to protect those rights, we have a government that was established to protect, and so we have limited government, and we have also individual rights. Those concepts are Christian in orientation. That is, they come from the Bible, the biblical concepts. That's why our founding fathers referred to this as a Christian nation. And they, in the Supreme Court of 1892, in the Holy Trinity case, said this is a Christian nation. And they went back with a litany of historical precedents to point out that we're a Christian nation. However, in the progressive era,
hold that thought. I'm sorry to cut you off. You have to go to work?
No, I'm at work right now. This is great. I don't have to go anywhere.
All right, hold on a minute.
Okay, all right.
I don't want to have to take a note. I have to write a note for you at school again.
Okay.
Take a quick break. 888-77-JESSE. Back in a moment.
Like my cousin, like, sent me you, and I thank him for that. It was more of a, you know, he thinks the whole, like everything's a joke. That just adds a little spice to it. But in the heart of what you're saying, there is real things going on. People want to overlook that. And I'm telling you, Mr. Peterson, I'm not one of those people. And I thank God that, you know, he showed you to me. And sometimes we just need some Jesse in our lives, I guess.
Thank you, Chris.
I wish we had more brothers like you. We need more brothers like you. Just because a lot of, we don't have more, most guys that can, you know what I'm saying, lead black people into the right direction. And I thank you for that, because a lot of people will be like, man, it's still going on. It's racism. Yeah. And I try to tell them, like, watch his show. Listen to this brother. He's telling the truth.
Take no thought about tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't exist. And you're going to see, man, God is with us and all is well. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning, the Hake. And James Hake is on fire. He just had a good hair for nothing, and he's white. And after that, the American Anchor Baby. Energy given to him by God. It's not on loan. It's given to him. The American Anchor Baby is on fire at 11 a.m., from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time. And today, a live episode of Punchy TV, right, Nick? A live episode of Punchy's TV at 2 p.m. At 2 p.m. Pacific time. Check it all out. I got to get back to Bill. Bill, you were explaining the original establishment of Christianity or Christian country as opposed to what's going on now. Go ahead.
So I was just pointing out that our founding fathers spoke with one voice, that this is a Christian nation.
Right.
The Supreme Court agreed with that. The state courts were the state Supreme Courts at that time in the 1820s and 30s were really the highest authorities. They all said this is a Christian nation. But it is. But in the progressive era, that was absolutely cast aside from the Woodrow Wilson period forward, which is a progressive socialistic era where they did not want Christianity or rights under God to be recognized. So Woodrow Wilson, for example, as I've mentioned before, when he would quote the Declaration of Independence, he would leave out, you know, before God or rights under God. He would leave out God portion of it. But at any rate, today there's a wide liberal movement that says, well, that's Christian nationalism. No, that's a complete mistake. So there is a committee, for example, and by the way, Kevin Cruz's book, who is a Princeton professor, in 2015 at least he was, the full title is One Nation Under God, How Corporate America Invented Christian America. And that's where I got some of the information where they just start with the Eisenhower period.
Okay.
But there's papers put out right now, for example, Charles Watson, a Baptist, Amanda Tyler, a Baptist, Michael Curry, who is the former Episcopal presiding bishop, Reverend Elizabeth Eaton, as she calls herself, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, all extremely liberal, who say, well, Christian nationalism is dangerous. And so they say two things regarding it. Number one, that means joining church and state. And number two, it is a racist concept. It's all about racism and hatred and condoning violence towards blacks and so forth. So let's pick up both of those for just a moment. Number one, joining church and state is not what they had in mind. This is what was not intended by the founders. This is where America and so many people are afraid to talk about Catholicism. Catholicism is an apostate movement away from the Bible. It is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul mentions Catholicism as the man of sin that would be the Pope sitting in the courtroom of God, sitting in the temple of God, presenting himself forth as God. Yeah. It's an apostate movement. So through the centuries, Catholicism is nothing more than the joining of church and state and making the state an adjunct of the church. That is not what our founding fathers wanted. As a matter of fact, that is not what we intend by the name or the term Christian nation, to join church and state. I oppose Catholicism just as our founding fathers did. They fled Catholicism. That is not what it is, joining church and state. It is simply embedding the principles of Christianity into and infusing it into the framework of our government. That's what Christian nation intends. Number two, regarding racism, this is kind of like Janet Napolitano, who was the DHS secretary during Obama's time. Remember when Obama became president? She put out a paper from the DHS saying, beware of returning veterans because they are prone to violence against blacks because we've elected the first black president and blah, 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 and therefore returning veterans are a threat. Well, she quickly backpedaled on that. What is that? That's infuriating to people. It's just making up out of whole cloth material. Christian nation has nothing to do with being racist or having anti-minority views. It is simply embedding the principles of Christianity into our nation, and that's what our founding fathers intended to do.
That's amazing. Well, we're so far away from that now that is mind-blowing. What does it mean, a nationalism, when you say nationalism? What does that mean?
Well,
nationalism.
Well, nationalism refers to considering our nation primary, that is the primary political entity to which we owe allegiance. That's nationalism. But it has become a dirty word because people want to associate that with Adolf Hitler, who was a German nationalist. And so they say, well, if you're a nationalist, you're somehow aligned with Adolf Hitler, which is the furthest thing from the truth and from reality that possibly can be. Every country that has laws, even protecting themselves from immigrants unlawfully coming in, has nationalistic interest, that is, nation first. That is, the political entity that I am first and foremost concerned about is America.
Right.
That's what real nationalism is. That is not, it's nothing to do with racism, nothing to do with anti-minority hatred, nothing to do with sexism, nothing to do with hatred of Muslims. It's just simply to recognize that we are a nation, a political entity, and we should answer to no higher political authority such as the United Nations. So it has become a dirty word, but I don't think it should be. But when people use Christian nationalism, they want you to think about people making this a nation such as a Catholic country where the Pope will tell the president what to do, such as King Henry VIII applied to the Pope in order to get a divorce from his wife and blah, blah, blah.
We now have a king. They call Donald Trump king.
They do? Okay, well, all right.
He doesn't call himself that. And he'll tell you, I don't call myself a king. And they had rallies in America against the king. And I'm like, what the? But I remember when someone called me a nationalist, and I'm like, what is that? Because I didn't know. I didn't know what it meant. But when they told me what it meant, I'm like, oh, okay, I do put my country first. That's fine. Right. I'll be a nationalist. And it's are Americans, especially white Americans, are they afraid of that word, nationalist?
You know what, Jesse? The liberals have co-opted every word, and so many conservatives are afraid of the word nationalism because they don't want to be associated with Hitler. However, I want to say, why do we allow the liberals to always set the table and define the terms? Just like the word evolution. So evolutionists cannot prove the general theory of evolution. And then when they say, okay, we can prove evolution by change within a species, for the beaks of the goldfinch on Galapagos Islands grow longer over a period of time, that's a change within a species. Yeah. That does not prove the general theory that we have crossover from one species to another. And yet, see, they just want to co-opt every word and make every word their own. And so They set the table on these things. So that's sad that we allow them to do it.
I'm about to ask, why do normal people allow abnormal people like liberals to just dictate what you say and what you do? You can't say this and say that. Why do normal people fall for it?
I don't know, Jesse. I think that the drift of humanity is always, of course, to go downward towards sin. And I think that's the way human nature has always been. And instead of standing up on principle, there are very few people who are principled enough to stand and take the heat, such as a Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But, you know, in history, we have a bunch of great presidents who also were very principled, and they refused to go down a bad track. But you know what? There are very few people who are that way today. We are more like the Clinton-esque people who simply wanted to every day read what were the polls. Okay, where am I in the polls today? Okay, well, I'm gonna have to change my tack because what the polls say. That's not principled.
That's amazing. Bill, two quick questions, then the time is running out here. What's your impression of Netanyahu, the president of Israel?
I like Netanyahu.
Yeah.
I think for the time that he's called for, I think he's a strong leader. I think he's a good leader. I think that he recognizes the threat of Islam in Israel. I think he's a great leader myself, and I appreciate him.
So Mike from the chat, he wanted to know, what do you think about my dream team? My dream team is Donald Trump, Netanyahu, and Putin.
Well, well, I don't know about Putin. I mean, being on the dream team. But you know what? I do appreciate Trump, as you know, and also I do appreciate Netanyahu.
Yeah,
Putin, I'm not so sure of. He himself was in the KGB and himself a leader of a country that has a top-down control. But you know what? I'll say this. Putin does recognize strong leaders when he sees them, such as Donald Trump. And I appreciate that about him. And he points that out. But he knows exactly what he's dealing with when he's dealing with the Obamas and the Bidens of the world and the Democrats.
Is it true, and I don't know if you know this or not, but is it true that Putin is a Christian, and in his country, he tried to uphold those Christian standards and values there?
I have no information on that, okay. Jesse. I really don't know.
I've heard that from over the years. I don't know either if it's true or not. So I want to do the Men History moment. Can you name or tell us about one of the president, past or president, that you respected and you thought they were good for the country and what they did?
My favorite is Thomas Jefferson. I think Thomas Jefferson is probably next to George Washington, those two. But Jefferson, I think, was the greatest. He was the greatest mind that America has produced. And so, for example, when John Kennedy was president, he himself was toasting a group of cabinet leaders and other dignitaries in the White House. And he said, "We have the greatest brain power in the entire history of the White House, except when President Jefferson dined alone." And I think that's probably true. Uh-huh. Jefferson not only, of course, added to the country with the Louisiana Purchase, but he also was an individual who penned, of course, the Declaration of Independence. And so he tells us very plainly that our rights come from God. And he himself tells us that he was influenced by these Puritan preachers in Virginia and other places. He was not, as many people, and even collegiate scholars say, well, he was a child of the Enlightenment. That is not so. He was actually an individual who was influenced by people such as, he tells us, John Locke, Francis Bacon, and others who were religious, claimed to be Christian individuals. So another one was Thomas Newton. Sir Thomas Newton was a devout Christian, and wrote about Christian principles and commentaries on the New Testament books Thomas Jefferson said he was influenced by these individuals. And so when he crafted the Declaration of Independence, people ask where he got his ideas. They didn't come from the French philosophers. They didn't come from the Enlightenment. They came from religious principles such as the John Wises, the preachers of that era, in which he recognized our rights are given to us individually by God. We are made in God's image, and therefore the government is to protect the rights that individuals gave us, or that God gave us. So I think Thomas Jefferson has been my favorite, really, through the years. Just a brilliant, brilliant mind. Wrote voluminously, and today, if you read his writings, sometimes you'll have to have a dictionary close at hand, right at your elbow, because, okay, what is he saying here? But because he just had a vocabulary that was such a wide vocabulary, he studied the Bible, he knew the Bible, he was aware and beware of Islam and the Quran. He was a scientist, he was a philosopher, he was a politician, actually a statesman is a better way to put it. All of these things, an agriculturalist, he just knew all of these things. That's just a great man. That's my take on it.
Oh, man, well, thank you for that, man. Here's the moment. Bill, tell the folks how they can get to you, what you need. Listen to your show, and I really want my audience to support you.
Well, thank you so much for that, Jesse. I want people to know I do appreciate contributions that come in. They come in very small amounts because I'm always operating on a shoestring budget, and I owe the government more than I take in, you know, seemingly at the end of the year. But yeah, be that as it may, the place to contribute is the website American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. I don't have current articles on that website, but it does have a donate button on there, AmericanLibertyWithBillLockwood.com. But I do have a podcast, which is patrioticpulpit.com. And I talk about such things as we've talked about today on your podcast, on your radio show today. And then also I preach in the Church of Christ at Iowa Park, in Iowa Park, Texas, right outside of Wichita Falls. So the website is iowaparkcoc.org, and you can see my sermons that are there uploaded. So I'm right now going through the book of 2 Corinthians and talking about Paul's apostleship, the defense of his apostleship, and so forth. But that's how one can find and track what I do and what I say.
I'm being told that somebody just went to your site to try to donate, and your site is down.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. What a mess!
What a mess. I need to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much for paying subscription prices. Yeah. So you know what? If they wanted to donate, they could always do so via the church. I mean, the church address, which is 300 East Park Street in Iowa Park, Texas. And you can mail it there if they want to do so. But you have to earmark the check, of course, how you want it donated. So, but I'll have to check that out with regarding American Liberty.
Repeat that address again.
It's 300 East Park Street, and that's in Iowa Park, Texas. And I believe the zip code is 76, I think it's 357, if I'm not mistaken, 76357, Iowa Park, Texas.
Okay.
It's a small community, so it's 300 East Park Street in Iowa Park, Texas. Church of Christ, yeah.
Last word from you, Bill, is...
Well, you know what? Regarding the biblical question you had at the first.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that. How have you treated yourself all of your life?
So here's what I believe we ought to be doing always. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, with your body. I say, therefore, to avoid harmful drugs, that would include smoking, marijuana, any other kind of harmful drugs, having proper diet, proper exercise. Your body is a temple of God. And I've tried to keep that in mind throughout my entire life. And that is to treat my body, this temple, as it's a temple of God and not simply to abuse it. I don't put markings, I don't tattoo, I don't do anything. I absolutely treat it as the temple of God, and I want to do that and try to be healthy and honor it that way. So that's what I think about 1 Corinthians 6 and the question you ask.
Amazing. Yeah. Bill, as usual, it was amazing. Thank you so much. And I love the last Monday or Tuesday of the month. I know you're going to be here. And so does my audience, man. I hear from everybody when you are here. Even your haters, they comment.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's all right. You know, when you stand up for any kind of statement or principle, people are going to hate. So, but that's all right. I'm happy to hear from everybody.
Right on. Thank you, Bill. And I'll see you next month. And have a good one. Thank you so much.
Okay. Lord bless you, Jesse. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Bill. All right, amazing. Check out Bill Lockwood. And I'll repeat it here. Patriot in the Pulpit. He had the Bible study with Bill Lockwood. Our Park Church of Christ. American Liberty with BillLockwood.com. That's amazing. So it looks like hate. James, I don't understand your notes. Because when you send one, you send two, you send three, and then I get confused. Bill's site is down. American Liberty with BillLockwood. Down. Oh, okay. Amazing. Thank you, Hake. 888-77-5-3-7-7-3-888-77-JESSE. What a mess in my country. I want my country back. I know it's not coming back, but I want it back. Let me go to BJ out of Texas. BJ, you are on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
Hey, DJ.
Just wanted to talk to you a bit about, you're to blame for me to be able to see the demons working in others. And ever since I started listening to you, man, I've just been able to recognize it more and more, especially with that clip of the UFC fighter's son beating up that wrestler.
Oh, yeah, what a mess, huh?
Well, what I noticed in that, in the events leading up to it, before he got in the ring and attacked the guy, he was listening to his chat as he was live streaming, and it just occurred to me how much that portrays the thoughts that come into our heads. It's just like a live chat that's live streaming, but everybody that's commenting is a demon. And he just switched. He listened to those voices and got lost. And it was hard to watch.
I want to play that whole thing today. We tried to play it yesterday, but there were some issues with it. I noticed that sometimes when people call into my show here, and they're dealing with the issues in their lives, and they tend to be looking at the chat while they're talking to me about their issue. And then they're reacting and responding to what people are saying in the chat. I'm like,
all through.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Yeah. I got rid of all my social media right before Biden took office.
BJ, hold that thought. Let me take a quick break. Can you hold?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me take a quick break. 888-77-JESSE. The hate news is coming out. Not the fake news, but the hate news. When I come back, your phone calls and your super chats. Back in a moment. I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From Rage to Responsibility. From Rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. The blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame,
and victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663. Some serious mess going on in the world, and the messy people trying to work against Trump's cleanup of the mess. I heard he's going to rename the Defense Department, the Department of Defense, which was once called the War Department. I wonder whether what Trump will name it. In the stay tuned. And India, are they catching tariffs? That might be a nice thing. That might help us against Russia, I hear. And maybe if we tariff China, it might help against calm Russia down. I don't know. Maybe, perhaps, because Russia should calm down, maybe. And package deliveries from overseas. Get your Temu shipments, you degenerates ordering from Temu. I disclaim. This is the end of hour one of the Jason Lee Peterson Show. It is Wednesday, August 27th. Happy Men's History Month, AD 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now. Even during Hake News, Not Fake News, and JLP will be right back to your calls, okay? So do call in. Yeah, we're in the last week of Men's History Month, and Manhood Hour is coming up in the third hour of the Jason Lee Peterson Show in an hour or so, all right? But Comedy Nonsense Network, CNN, reports that our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, is planning to make a big adjustment to his cabinet. On Monday, he told reporters that the Department of Defense is going to change its name within the next week or so. Pretty cool. So exciting. He might. We shall see. And in India versus America, President Trump has followed through on his threat to double the tariffs on imports from India to 50%. The move aims to punish the world's fifth largest economy for importing Russian oil and helping Moscow finance their war with the Ukraine. The higher tariffs could also endanger relations with one of America's most important trading partners and cause consumer prices to soar, exclaims Commie Nonsense. Earlier this month, when Trump vowed to impose what he called secondary sanctions, India signaled that they would respond. Since chemicals, oils and gases, aerospace products and parts are the top American exports to India, those industries could be among the most vulnerable if New Delhi, decides to slap retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods. And package deliveries. Waiting for a package to arrive from overseas? You degenerate globo homo people. Shout out. It may not be coming anytime soon. Previously, goods worth $800 or less were allowed to enter the United States duty-free with no tax, no duty, under the de minimis exemption. However, our greatest president, Donald J. Trump's administration, will eliminate that tariff exemption on Friday. In response, many countries, Austria, Australia, Belgium, Germany, India, Japan, New Zealand, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, they have suspended some parcel shipments to the United States until further notice. According to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, more than 1.36 billion de minimis shipments entered the United States last fiscal year. What a mess. And Social Security. You heard about Social Security? The Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, may have put Americans' personal information at risk, exclaims Commie Nonsense Network. According to a so-called whistleblower complaint filed by the chief data officer at the Social Security Administration, DOGE employees created a live copy of Social Security records for more than 300 million supposed Americans and uploaded the data to a vulnerable cloud computing server, as if the government's so careful with our stuff. Give me a break. The copy of the agency's database, which contained people's names, social security numbers, dates of birth, addresses, citizenship status, parents' names, and other personal information, apparently lacks any security oversight from the Social Security Administration or tracking to determine who is accessing or has accessed the copy of this data. So claimed Charles Borges in his whistleblower disclosure. I don't know. Social Security spokesman Nick Perrine said the data has been walled off from the internet and is monitored by staff. I'm James Hake, now back to JLP. Hour two.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show. It's Manhood Hour coming up in the third hour. You can get involved by calling 888-777-3773-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, how have you treated yourself all of your life? How have you treated yourself all of your life? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, running around, you can podcast the show, but you can also listen to it on your phone by calling the Listen Line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, and we are going to get to your super chats here in a minute. Donate and have your comments read out loud. You can go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. All right? Amazing. I want to get to some stuff that I want to share with you here in a minute, but I want to go back to BJ, and BJ is saying that he started to see the evil in others. BJ, do you see the evil in yourself?
Oh, all the time, unfortunately.
And what does it look like?
It looks like hell.
Are you surprised to see it in you?
Yes and no. Thanks be to God, I see it a lot less now that I just try to stay present and wait and see. And seeing the obvious evil come out of others has made me look at myself a lot closer, because I don't want anything to do with that. And I don't want to bring that on anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. It is amazing. It really changes your life, and it helps you in a major way when you can see evil inside yourself and start to overcome it. But when you can see it in others, once you see it in yourself and you understand what that means, you can clearly see it in others. And one thing for sure, and without a doubt, all human beings, until they wake up and start to overcome, are evil. I didn't know that. I didn't know we were evil as human beings. I heard it growing up, but I didn't know what it meant until I was able to see it. All human beings are evil. And it's crazy to see that. But I'm glad to see it because it protects you when you can see it.
You know, Jesse, I went to church all my life, and I've got a degree from a seminary. And one thing I read over and over again and didn't understand until the last few years is the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, it tells you first about the fruits of the flesh, the drunkenness, bitterness, envy, fits of rage, outbursts, jealousy, and then the fruits of the Spirit. And something you say all the time is that it's a spiritual battle, and it really is.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed in addition to that is that whether you have the good fruits or the bad, they come together. You never get just one. You get it all or you got none.
Yeah.
And it made me have to look at myself a lot closer, and it made me understand others a lot better.
And another thing I didn't know either until recently, over the last years, when you talk about the fruits of the Spirit and talking about the jealousy, the envy, and strife, it didn't really register in me what it meant. I didn't see the depths of that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able at the time to put that together as human nature. And that human nature is the nature of evil. And that those were examples and signs of human nature. Strife and jealousy and evil. I mean, revengeful and gossiping and all that. I didn't put that together at the time, but now I can clearly see it.
And I've noticed the Bible thumpers are the worst about reading over the parts of Scripture which say those things about us as individuals clearly, and just trying to find some sort of like magic eight ball verse to predict the future and some kind of wish fulfillment in their life. It's just bizarre that you can read something your entire life and not understand it.
Sure is. It's mind-blowing to me. And it's just mind-blowing that you can read the Bible all your life. You'd be Sunday school class and everything. Even the teacher of the Bible don't know what they're talking about because they don't even explain to you what that really means.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I want to play that. Let me ask, why did you become a, you said you went to the Bible, you went to Bible what?
Seminary. I got a master's degree in religion at a conservative seminary.
Really? And how has that helped you?
Oh, it helped me a lot. I never pursued it because I wanted to be some kind of ordained minister or anything. It was just, it was a huge part of my life, the Bible and Christian religion, and I wanted to understand its origins and roots and be able to read and translate the Greek and Hebrew, kind of a passion project. But I was the only one that went there with an open mind, and everybody else was just checking off boxes so they could get ordained in whatever organization they were going to go work for. And it occurred to me, now that they're employed by the church, they cannot change their minds or they lose their job.
That's crazy.
Their salary depends on it.
Wow. I want to quickly, because there's so many calls I want to get to, but I want to play that soundbite you mentioned about Roger Jackson. This is from the New York Times. Roger Jackson, the son of Quentin Rampage Jackson, a former UFC light heavyweight champion for the folks, assaulted a professional wrestler during an independent event on Saturday in Los Angeles. This is according to a recording of the match. Allegedly attacked, right? I got to say that, allegedly. And here's what we didn't play yesterday. You mentioned this, BJ, about the guy was watching his social media. And this is the situation started when the wrestler assumed Ray J Raja was a worker because of Raja's camera crew. Watch this one kick.
What, you don't know me?
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, I think that's a little.
Oh! Oh, you don't.
Easy, 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 easy.
He's not a fucking worker, bro. Calm down.
Yeah, what the fuck was
good,
that?
You're good.
What the fuck was that?
You don't sell it?
No, he's not a fucking worker, bro.
What the fuck was that? Hold on. I don't play that, bro.
Oh, sorry.
No,
that,
I will fuck him up. Bro.
I know you will.
We're good.
I will fuck him up, bro.
I
appreciate it.
I didn't know. I just thought you were a worker. Don't see my
camera. Yeah. I get it.
We're not working out. Well, he's going to come out on your mat, too. I know you keep thinking we're working. We're always working.
I get it now. Now you on.
You know what I'm saying, Os? Yeah. We're always working. So we'll set it up. I'll have him come out during your mat so we can seal the whole thing and it will make something out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
All right.
Tell you guys this. They told me to hit him and just leave. Somebody will pull me off of him and leave. I'm telling you. I'm going to hit him as many times as I can. Watch.
And so here's where things went south from a kick.
Taught him playing with me, bro. Real shit. One of them bit me. Call me. Not no, bro. At the end of the day, I'm gonna stand up for myself because I'm tired of everybody playing with me, bro. Real shit.
Amazing. So, BJ, how do you know he was watching social media? That's what made. Because on the outside, it looked like the white man apologized to him and he said, I'm sorry, I thought you were a worker here, blah, blah, blah. And he seemed to be okay. How do you know he would listen to the social media and got upset?
As he was sitting, there's other videos. Both he and his dad have, like, constantly live-streamed lives on Kick, on social media. And his dad really is to blame for this. He is exactly like his father. And anyway, they were filming him, the son, ringside, and he was talking out loud, responding to these comments on his live stream. And you could hear him getting amped up, and he was losing himself more and more every time he read another comment, and forgetting that this is fake wrestling with old men who were drinking outside 30 minutes before this started, who are putting on a performance. And he is a mixed martial artist, and he listened to the voices, and he lost himself, and he might lose his freedom as a result.
That's amazing. There were videos of him saying that he was paying attention to his social media too.
Yeah, both he and his dad read live comments while they're going about their lives, and there's even video from his dad's live stream at the time of him calling his son and making fun of him for being punked by this wrestler guy, saying, "Why are you hugging men in tights? I saw a video of you hugging men in tights. How are you going to be like that? You know, the doing the black thing." And so his dad and his followers added so much shame, and he listened to those and let his ego just grow and grow. It was like, I don't know if they have screens big enough to hold an ego like that. It was just amazing. Like watching something blow up.
So did he, when the white man said, "I'm sorry, I thought you were a worker, and I really apologize," they were explaining to him, and then he said, "Okay," it sounded like he accepted the apology. He didn't really mean it when he accepted it?
I think he had a moment of clarity. He got calmed down because he was there invited by a friend who was actually one of these fake wrestlers. And because he was with that guy, this other fake wrestler thought he was legitimately another fake wrestler. And there was a camera and he was trying to get his moment. But they cleared it up. He said, you know, you can get your lick back when you get in the ring during his fight, body slam him.
Right.
But then he had 25 punches to the guy's jaw undefended after he was knocked out. That's, I mean, attempted murder.
Is he going to jail?
I would bet money on it.
Amazing. So you think the black man going to go to jail for doing that to the white man?
Yeah, because he's a prominent.
That ain't going to happen, BJ. Sorry.
No.
Black people don't go to jail for attacking white people.
Well, if you're famous enough, you will.
Well, we'll see. Amazing. BJ, thank you, man. Amazing. Stay with it.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. Have a good one.
You too, buddy. 888-775-3773. What a mess. Did you know all that about a Hake?
I'd heard a little bit of that, yeah.
Oh, you did?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on in that mind of his.
What a mess. Let me go to Josh out of Georgia. Oh, my. Josh, you are on the air.
Hey, happy Men's History Month, Jesse.
Thank you, Josh. It was amazing seeing you on Sunday, man.
Yeah, it really was, man. Good seeing y'all.
Your beard looked like a Muslim or something, or one of those people that live out there on the plantation and they still drive horses and buggies. What's over there?
Yeah, Amish.
Amish. Are you are you a black Amish or a black Hebrew Israelite or something?
Yeah, I mean, Joshua is a Hebrew name, so I do like farming. I am into farming, and I don't know, maybe I am. Who knows?
You know, when I hear you on the phone like this, you seem to be like an older guy, kind of, you know, all that big guy, fat guy. But you're totally different in person.
I do sound different, I guess. People have told me that before.
Oh, amazing.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, welcome, man. Go ahead.
All right. I was calling for the biblical question.
How have you treated yourself all of your life?
It would appear that I treated myself horribly with just, you know, chasing thrills and vices and poison in my body. But I don't take credit for any of that. I'd say that's just the sin that made a home in me. And so I would, the final answer is I don't know how I've treated myself because I don't take credit for all the corruption and filthy stuff I've done to myself.
Amazing. Well, I appreciate that, man. And I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise.
All right. I'll be listening.
Are you still in California or are you going back on the road?
I'm in Texas right now.
Really?
Headed back east. Yeah.
Wow.
Headed back east. Yeah.
So did Sion tell you to tell us hello?
She did, and I forgot.
You hear him, Sion. He forgot.
I apologize, Sion, okay? It won't happen again, Sion.
Amazing. All right, Josh. Thank you, man. And be careful on the road, and I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Brian out of New Orleans, Louisiana. Brian, you are on the air. Happy Men's History Month, Brian.
What's up, Jeff? How you doing?
All is well. Happy Men's History Month.
All right. I just want to comment on that video that you showed with the wrestler guy.
Okay. And, did you hear me say Happy Men's History Month?
Yeah, I'm trying to ignore that.
Oh, you don't want to play. Okay.
No, I don't want to play. I don't believe in that.
Okay.
There's no such thing as men's history month.
Yes, it is. It's been going on for five years now. How many years?
Get that day put on the calendar in July. Get that day put on the calendar then. Maybe I'll celebrate it then.
You said you went out?
But like the song says, if God said yes, I would do it.
If God said yes?
I would do it.
Oh, amazing. When God said yes.
If God says yes. If not, the book goes how it's written.
Oh, man, you believe in God?
Yes, I do. Do you believe in God?
You love white people?
Do you love black people?
Yes. Do you love white people?
I love all people.
How about white people?
How about people in general?
Do you love white people?
How about people in general?
I didn't ask about people in general. I'm talking about.
Do you believe in white people? People in general. People in general.
I mean, do you love white people?
People in general. I love all people.
But how about whites?
I love all.
Amazing. Go ahead. You had another statement about the black. Go ahead.
Yes. I was trying to comment on a video. At first, you were saying that black people were always acting violent toward one another. And in that video, I just seen that two guys were like, going toe-to-toe. And the black guys just got his revenge by it. I didn't see nowhere in that video when he got violent.
In which video?
The rest of the video that you showed earlier.
The one we just played?
Yeah.
You didn't see the black guy getting violent, and even when it was over, he was ticked off, saying that I don't remember exactly what he said. But he said something like people always messing with him. He can't mess with him anymore.
I seen a white guy make the same exact comment.
No, how about the black guy?
How about the white guy that did that?
No, I'm asking, did you see the black guy saying
that? You always trying to attack a specific race. Well, why?
But, Brian, I'm asking you, you didn't hear the black guy saying that he's not going to let people mess with him like that anymore?
That's a freedom of speech that you cannot take away from nobody.
I know. I'm asking, did you hear the black guy saying that?
I heard him saying that, but it don't matter what he said.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Did you see the black guy pouncing on the white guy?
Well, I saw him, both of them in the ring.
Right, and did you see how that black guy was just beating on him?
Hold on. You watch wrestling? I see a plenty of black people wrestling with everybody as competition.
But I'm asking you, did you see the black guy pouncing on that white guy?
I didn't see nothing like that. I seen that was in the ring.
Did you see it took at least four guys to stop the black guy?
And what's your point?
I saw the white guy too.
So what's your point? What point are you trying to make?
I'm asking you, did you see the at least four guys trying to stop that black guy?
What is your point?
My point is, did you see it?
I saw it.
And so what do you think about black rage? He seemed to be very angry. What do you think about that?
I didn't see none of that. I didn't see none of that. I seen he got his revenge. That's all. He's got his revenge.
The black guy got his
I seen the white people do the same thing.
Do what?
Do the same thing that black guy was doing. So what's the difference?
You have seen white people get revenge?
Yeah, do the same thing.
So you were okay with the black guy? You were okay with the black guy being violent?
You okay with the white guy being violent?
No, I'm asking you, were you okay with that black guy being violent?
No, I'm asking you, are you okay with the white guy being violent?
You should never be violent. So were you okay with the black guy being violent?
Are you okay with the white guy being violent?
The white guy apologized outside He thought the guy was another fighter.
What is your point?
It sounds like you're okay with black violence. Are you?
It sounds like you're okay with white violence.
Brian, I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you okay with black violence?
Are you okay with white violence?
Bye, Brian.
Bye, asshole.
What? No, sorry, kids. I didn't know you were going to say that. Everybody got one. They put the cracker back in cracker. But first, Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Super Chats.
Super, super.
Over on X, Crisis King asks, Jesse, when JLP talk on X, when you have perfect peace, are you pretending not to let things bother you? Or are you genuinely not bothered by things that you used to be bothered by?
No, you can't pretend you have perfect peace. You're going to crack at some point. No, I do have it. And I didn't know it was possible. But once you drop the anger, you will see and know that it's possible. Not only will you know perfect peace exists, you will have it. But you got to drop the anger. Anger, upsetness, revenge, rage, stress is a sign of the not you, the false self. And so you let that go, then the real self will appear. And in the real self, there is no anger. There's nothing but perfect peace. Christ came that you may have that, and you can have it. But you got to overcome the false self. You're not those emotions. Those emotions are not natural. They are not from God. They are human nature, but human nature is the nature of evil. Human nature is not a good nature. Thank you. Amazing. Stay with it.
Pork Chop Express on Rumble says, free Shiloh Hendricks.
Who is that?
That's that beautiful white gal, the white mother. Who's said the N-word allegedly to a black child.
Oh,
and then said on camera the N-word to a guy who asked her to say the N-word again.
Oh, yeah, we have that coming up. They're trying to press charges against her.
It sounds like the city of Rochester, Minnesota is trying to charge her with disorderly conduct or something.
That's crazy, but we have that story coming up right on. Thank you.
Free Shiloh Hendricks, says Pork Chop Express. Thank you, sir. Lori, with a coffee BQ answer.
How have you treated yourself all of your life?
I didn't know myself, so I didn't treat myself anyway. Evil sure did treat me with hatred, contempt, and lied to me all of my life. Now God shows me real life with love and truth, says Lori.
Amazing. Thank you, Lori. Stay with it. And I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
Julie from Connecticut. Hi, Jesse. If you haven't already, please tell Jamie, Kennedy, I guess, about Uncle Tom 1 and 2. I think he would really be interested.
Oh, Jamie Kennedy?
Yeah, he's the one who you were on his show just recently.
Oh, that was fun.
Hate to break it to you, with Jamie Kennedy and Jesse Lee Peterson.
Check it out, Paul. I will, Julie. That's a good suggestion as well. Thank you. I definitely will. I haven't, but I will. I don't know if I had mentioned that to him. We may have mentioned that in top, but I'll make sure. Thank you.
Kilo Alpha Tango with a diamond says, bounce it, Hake.
Bounce what?
I can't say. Nikki bought three coffees. BQ, I live like I never had rights. How you've treated yourself all your life?
Right.
No self-importance and no entitlement. It was my way of killing the ego long before I knew the word existed. I am grateful and so blessed.
Right on. Stay with it. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
John, warning, there are a deceitful lot of cowards looking to misrepresent everything they can. They are evil liars, hell-bent on bringing harm to others. Be careful of what is texted, even if it's a typo. Silly fools are of hate. He says,
you are so right. You got to pay attention, folks. Really. Human beings are evil and they will come after you because it's a thrill to them. and they live off thrills. Evil people live off thrills, emotions, right? And not only would the spirits of evil come after you in your imagination, the spirit of evil and other people come after you as well. I got to take a break.
Thank you, guys.
We'll complete the Super Chats and phone calls after this break.
I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage
to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Welcome back. Welcome back. We have the best counseling service, folks, on this side of heaven. If you want counseling, family, individual counseling, or individual counseling, you can go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com, or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-BOND to set it up. Make an appointment, and you may need two. But most times you need one if you're really ready to overcome. Sometimes two. And people like to, you know, have like a follower, but that's up to you. By phone, Skype, or walk-in. Phone, Skype, or walk-in. All right? And if you want a copy of our free newsletter, you can go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com. Or call 800-411-BOND to request one, all right? 800-411-2663. And last but not least, support us on social media. I don't mention that a lot. And they like, Jesse, why you never mention social media? Go to rumble.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Cozy.tv/JLP, where Christ is King. JLP Talk on X. Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram. Pure.net/Jesse Lee Peterson. And hey, just told me about a new one, but I can't find it. So, hey, you remember Kick? Kick! Hey, Kick, good morning over there. So go over there, like Kick.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Follow. Subscribe, comment, and all of that good stuff, all right? I do appreciate it. The cracker is back in the barrel. It is back. Isn't that amazing? And it appears to be one of the primary reasons, not the only reason, that the cracker is back in the barrel. Donald Trump spoke up about it. And then company had already been getting, according to reports, a lot of complaint about taking the cracker out of the barrel. And this is, white people, I want you to know, see how you spoke up about this and they put the cracker back in the barrel? If you start speaking up about a whole bunch of things, say no to the attacks upon you and afraid to say whatever, that'll change too. It will change, but you got to not be afraid to speak up. Fox News is reporting. Cracker Barrel said on Tuesday that after listening to its customers, it will scrap its new logo and keep the old timer in place. Watch this from Fox.
I am Andy Mack. What is old is new again, and I am referring to that, the Cracker Barrel logo, as you can see here on social media, courtesy of Fox News, that the Cracker Barrel announcing it's changing the logo back after this rebrand. And I know there was a lot of outrage around this, as Cracker Barrel found itself at odds with its fans after removing Uncle Herschel from its logo. The company unveiled it, revamped text-only design, sparking backlash and sinking its stock price. The original 1969 logo was also text only, but the 1977 edition of the now iconic imagery became a staple of its branding. The chain also redesigned the interior of its restaurants, ditching some of that American aesthetic and replacing it with a slick modern motif. Obviously, this is something that we've heard from President Trump, calling on Cracker Barrel to revert to that old logo.
Amazing. No, it looked like Cracker Barrel again. I wonder did they get rid of those females that came up with this bright idea. We need to remove the cracker from the barrel. Did they get rid of those people? If that's true. Allegedly, a couple women came up with that idea. Fox was reporting that President Donald Trump urged Cracker Barrel to go back to his old logo in a post on Truth Social. And on Tuesday, hours later, the company brought back its original logo. Watch this from Fox.
And as I mentioned, President Trump, this made a comment just 8 hours or so ago, expressing some outrage, displeasure with this new change. This coming in from the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, saying Cracker Barrel should go back to the old logo, admit a mistake based on customer response. And I guess that is exactly what just happened, as now Cracker Barrel going back to the old logo there.
Amazing. When the king speaks, things change. Things happen. The great white hope said, what the? And they put the cracker back in the barrel. Good for Cracker Barrel. And it's about time. Somebody have to say no to evil. Somebody have to say no. And one other quick one before I go back to the calls. You heard it was mentioned about the white woman that said the N-word. And now it's being reported. I don't know how true this is, that she's been charged. Can you believe that? This is another reason why white people are afraid to speak up. But you still shouldn't be afraid to speak up. You should not be afraid to speak up. And we reported this story to you a while back where this white woman was in a park, and she said, allegedly, there was a black kid there trying to mess with her kid, take the things away or something from her kid, and she didn't like it. She spoke up about it, and all hell broke loose. KTTC, the Rochester City Attorney Office, moved to leverage 3 counts of disorder conduct against Shiloh Hendricks, a woman who used racial slurs against a Somali child with a disability in a since viral video in April. Watch this from KTTC.
First at noon, we have new developments in a case involving a racial incident we've been covering for months. Today, the Rochester City Attorney's Office is announcing it has filed charges against Shiloh Hendricks, the woman appearing to hurl racial slurs against a child in a now viral video at Soldiers Field Park in April. Hendricks is being charged with 3 misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct. Each count comes with a maximum penalty of 90 days in jail and or a $1,000 fine. Hendricks made headlines around the globe after she allegedly made racist remarks directed toward a black child with autism in April. The incident captured on video depicted Hendrix using a racial slur multiple times.
Amazing. When did that become illegal? And why? Here's Shiloh's video, viral video from NBC News.
You call him the child? Did you call the child the word? It is my own business. You call him a. Okay, why don't you have the balls to say it right now again? Okay. All right, that's what you say. Nobody dig into your.
A little fucking kid just did, you dumb.
That little kid, you call him a.
Yeah.
The little child?
What if he acts like one is gonna.
Are you about to hit him? You chase him here?
He took my son's stuff.
So that gives you the right to call the child 5 year old and the N word.
If that's what he's gonna act
that's
like.
That's what you're gonna call him.
That's what he's gonna act like.
You know, that's a hate speech. And you can be the
that. I don't give a.
Huh. Okay, we'll see about that, what the internet has to say about you.
Amazing. Then you just send that Somali guy back to Somalia. Really? When did a word become hate speech? I mean, when is it illegal? A word is just a word, and it's someone else's fault or problem if they give it to words. When will you, America, wake up and stop falling for the lie? If not now, when? They're going to press charges about a word? If it's illegal to say that word, all people of color, or not all, but most, not all, but all, but most, should be in jail already. Because they call white people all kinds of words all the time. Negative words. Why they're not in jail? How come what's good for the goose is not good for the gander? I don't know how true this is, but it might, especially with a white woman arguing with some black people. It's totally different. Had it been the other way around, I guarantee you that black person would not have to go to jail or pay a fine or anything. It would be just fine. My producer's telling me under the First Amendment, largely protect. The First Amendment protects against what? I'm talking about producer. Protect against what? Offensive or protected speech or unpopular speech. When did that happen? They made that up. They added that to it or something? What happened with freedom of speech? I'm talking to my... What? Protect against that, right? Okay. What a mess. 888-7753-773. Not against. I don't know. Now, hate telling me something else. I don't know what my producer or hate is saying. Let me go to Gustavo out of California. Gustavo, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. All's well.
Happy Men's History Month.
Happy Men's History Month.
Thank you.
I wanted to answer the biblical question.
How have you treated yourself all of your life?
Most of the time, well, growing up, I don't think I did treat myself very well.
You
especially
did not?
When I was growing up, I did not.
And why not? How did you treat yourself?
Well, growing up as a kid, whenever I'd make a mistake, I'd beat myself up over it. And whenever I did make a mistake with my parents, they would really overreact, and it wouldn't help. So I pretty much got that from there. So pretty much making mistakes and doing what I thought was, well, just doing what I think is wrong. Most of the time it was just me judging myself, pretty much. That's what it is. Personally for me.
So you've treated yourself by judging yourself?
Yeah, by judging myself by not really having, I guess having that kind of like parenting of words saying that, oh, it's okay, just shake it off. It was just a mistake. Don't worry about it. Instead of just like letting it go, I'd just hang on to it and just constantly let it sit there and just keep feeling guilty and beat myself up over it.
And how does one judge him or herself? How did you judge yourself?
Well, now that I've been watching the thoughts, it comes from the thoughts, but I don't know. It's just something I grew up on. I don't know. Because people would get upset of what I would be doing, and so I'd feel guilty, and then I feel the judgment, and then from their judgment, I'd judge myself.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much, yeah.
And do you still judge yourself?
Yeah, sometimes.
And how do you do that?
By feeling guilty whenever I get upset at somebody, or whenever I tend to have a bad habit of not taking care of my car, so my car tends to break down, and I always beat myself up over it because I don't really maintain it very well.
Uh-huh.
So that is one thing that I guess something that I would constantly do that I always have a problem doing, or something that I'm having a problem trying to fix. It's from stop doing it and trying to maintain my car. But I tend to forget to do that, and it tends to break down, or I tend to get a flat, or, you know, something's wrong with the car, and I knew I should have worked on it, but I never got to it.
And so let's say, and then I'll put my two cents in on Sunday about what you're saying, but let's say that your car breaks down and you've done the same old thing 1,000 times. Why not just get up and take care of the car without having an opinion about it? And just do what's in front of you that needs to be done. Just do it. Why not live that way?
I don't know. Well, what tends to follow up after that is that whenever I would say I do it, but what tends to happen is I say to, well, it's not me saying it to myself, but the doubts come in saying I'm just going to make it worse and say, you'll just get to it some other time, or you have an appointment like in an hour, 2 hours. Like, you don't have any time for that right now. Maybe another time. But that's what usually happens, is the other things tend to pop up when I have time. But that's what usually happens.
Are you working on yourself?
I hope so. But I mean, yeah, I think so. But
have you dropped the anger?
That I'm not 100%. No.
And why
no,
not?
I don't think so. I'm not too sure. I mean, the one thing I always think about whenever I'm throughout, you know, the week or throughout the day, something that you've said is the twinkling of an eye. And I always say that all the time. It's like, why can't I just do that? Like, it could just be done just like that, like right. A twinkling of an eye. And I always say that, and I always question that all the time, but I could never get an answer. I could never really understand it. I just keep thinking about it, and I don't have an answer for that.
Have you gone and forgiven your mother and father?
Yes, I've forgiven my mother.
I'm sorry?
My father's dead.
Oh, okay.
He died when I was young.
Right.
So I can't really do that one.
Okay. But you've forgiven your mother?
Yes.
What would happen if you stay present rather than living in your thoughts? What would happen if you just stay present?
What would happen if I stayed present? I'm not too sure. I guess I would just go on about my day and just do what needs to be done.
So why don't you stay present?
Can I give an example? So let's say, like, I have to take out the trash, and I'm doing it, but I'm getting a lot of pushback from the thoughts. Is that me? But I'm still doing it, but there's still a lot of thoughts coming in, but I'm still doing the thing that I have to do, which is taking out the trash. Is that me being present?
If you're taking out the trash while being aware of what's happening inside of you, that's perfect. But doing nothing about what's happening inside of you, you're aware of that, and so that you can die from that. And the awareness will cause you to die from it. You still take out the trash, but be aware of what's going on inside of you. Like, for example, your mind tell you, oh, don't take the trash out now. Or the mind reminding you of, oh, you didn't get your car repaired. Or you did this or that. If you can practice being aware of what's happening on the inside of you while doing what you need to do, it will work for itself. It will take care of it.
Okay. All right.
Why don't you do that? Why have you heard me say before to practice staying present?
Yes, I have heard you say that.
And why have you done that or started to work on that?
It's been very difficult. I don't know how else to say it, but it's not something that I'm used to. But I've been trying. It's only happened a few times that I can think of, but most of the time, because I feel like I do nothing most of the time, which is why I'm struggling on answering the being present, because most of the time I try not to do anything, but then I end up doing something that randomly because I don't like being still.
Well, I want to encourage you to remember to practice staying present. Even like when I'm doing the show right now, I'm a present of what's going on in me. I'm aware of that. And I'm aware of myself speaking while I'm doing the show. Practice those little things, all right?
Thank you for calling and thanks for holding.
Okay.
All right, buddy. I got to take a break. One more hour to go to Hate News, Not the Fake News. Back in a moment.
He is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free, just like that, at an instant. Bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing.
Some serious mess going on in the world. The Katrina Declaration, FEMA, traitors to America, signing something against Trump, drawing down the size of FEMA, and that woman who's in charge of Homeland Security or whatever FEMA is part of. They're on leave, and Revolution Wind, there's some wind farm project that's stopped by the White House. Perhaps a good thing up in one of those white liberal states over in New England somewhere, something like that. And SpaceX had a test launch, and I think it was a success. Right on. Shout out. Space is real. And there's this activist, Wendell Pierce or something like that, who's all mad, accusing Trump of whitewashing history because he told the Smithsonian not to be focused only on how bad slavery supposedly was. Give me a break. This is the end of hour two of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show. It's Wednesday, August 27th, 2025 A.D. Happy Men's History Month. Manhood Hour is coming right up, guys. And ladies can join it and call in as well. There is one line open. You can call in right now, even during Hake News, not fake news, to get on hold, to get on air for Manhood Hour. Even the ladies are welcome, as you may well know, to call in during Manhood Hour. Sweet. Sweet. But, yeah, after the J.C. Lee Peterson Show, thehakereport.com, that's my show. And then after that, American Anchor Baby. At 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 Central, 2 Eastern, American Anchor Baby on Rumble. Also follow his Gorgonzola user account. It's nice to follow both, all right? And also on YouTube, pretty cool, as well as Punchy.tv. And in the afternoon, we have Punchy TV going to be live with American Anchor Baby, James Hake, and Derek, the producer, the black one, Black Jit. JLP producer, and Bill, the engineer. So cool. We'll be going live and taking your calls and super chats on Punchy TV on YouTube and other JLP platforms. Sweet. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports, FEMA has placed several, or at least a few, employees on administrative leave just one day after they signed some letter to Congress warning that the Trump administration's overhaul of FEMA, the agency, Federal Emergency Management Administration, could lead to catastrophic failures in disaster response. Would it be because of malicious action? I forget what it is. While malicious compliance, I think, is the word for it. Well, more than 180 current and former FEMA employees signed that dumb letter, the Katrina Declaration. Most did so anonymously. They signed it anonymously. I don't get how they signed it if they signed it anonymously. Only 36 signed publicly, including some Virginia Case supervisory management and program analyst. It sounds like a woman. Who said she was, quote, disappointed but not surprised, unquote, to be placed on leave, an enemy of America in the government, seemingly, perhaps. FEMA's move echoes the actions taken earlier this summer at the EPA. Remember the Environmental Protection Agency? Degenerate. Where roughly 140 employees were suspended days after they signed a public letter. Sounds like a liberal woman thing to do, huh? Raising concerns about the treatment of federal workers and the administration's regulations on so-called climate and so-called public health, communist buzzwords. And the Revolution Wind, that's a project, right? Capitalized first letters. The White House has stopped construction of a massive wind farm off the coast of Rhode Island. could put thousands of jobs, so-called, in jeopardy. Once finished, it was expected to provide enough energy to power just 350,000 homes across Rhode Island and Connecticut without burning fossil fuels. So last week, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management ordered a halt to that wind farm thing. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Justin Lee Peterson. It's the third hour of the show already. And it is Manhood Hour, and you can get involved by calling 888-777-5377-888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, a doozy. How have you treated yourself all of your life? How have you treated yourself all of your life? You ever think about that? How am I treating myself? Not how others have treated me, but how have I treated myself? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you run around, you're busy, and you want to still listen to the show, whether you're working out or what, you can podcast, but you can listen to the show on your phone by calling the Listen Line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, and we're going to get to your super chats, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. All right. It's Wednesday, the third hour of the show on Wednesday. And every Wednesday, third hour, is Manhood Hour. What is a man? What is a man? Man.
It's an adult man. Human male.
Manhood. Hillary or President Trump?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Beta. Beta male. A man is a male return to man. Alpha male. Live right, be right, and lead the way.
Former Doge staffer was absolutely pummeled by a mob of juvenile delinquents. Police arrested two suspects, both 15 years old. And despite the vicious assault, Judge Kendra D. Briggs, a Biden appointee, cut them loose. Instead of staying in detention, they got curfews, electronic monitors, and an admonition from the judge to go to school. Oh, how nice.
Mama is here.
What a mess, huh? Rebuilding the family. We got to bring back, we don't have to, but bringing back the order of God. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. If you're married with a family, men and women, that's how it works. It's not going to work any other way. Though the man is responsible for returning to the father himself, and the woman is responsible for herself spiritually returning to the father, all right? Let me just say this to you because I've been hearing this a lot in doing counseling. And even when I'm out and about and I run into men and women who are working on themselves and they're seriously working on themselves. But I hear this a lot and they want to know, what should I do? Why did this happen? What should I do? Why, Jesse? Why? Men and women, number one, when you first wake up, when you hear that truth and then something clicks inside of you, it makes sense. And you realize, wow, that makes sense. And then you start to work on yourself. But when you first wake up, you're like excited that you can see. You're like, whoa, I can finally see. And you're so excited about it. And then you run and tell somebody. You tell your friends. You tell your family members. You tell your church members. You tell your co-workers or somebody. Or you're walking down the road and you run into people. You're so excited about being able to see that your father. And this is with men and women. And you wake up and you're happy to tell somebody. And then when you tell them, a couple things happen. Some of them get mad at you. And they want to go off on you. Or they build an army against you. Now you're crushed. You thought they were going to be happy to hear the truth too. Not only did you think they would be happy for you, that you thought that they would be happy to know so that they can wake up. And then you found out later that instead of being happy, they were jealous and they go after you. They try to build an army against you and you can't believe it. I want to warn you, because this is hurting a lot of people. I thought that my family members were going to love me. I thought they would be happy. And you find out that they were not. And now you're disappointed. I want to warn you, do what you want. But when you first wake up, meaning you start to see, a little light shows you. And you're so excited because you didn't know you were asleep until you woke up, right? Do what you want, but I highly suggest you tell nobody. Don't run and tell it. Because it's like planting seeds in the ground. And then the birds go and eat them up before they can grow. When you're telling your family members, whether it's your mother, sometimes even the father, brothers or sisters, friends or church members or whomever, you're telling them that you are, I can finally see. They don't understand that. And they will try to make you doubt yourself. They really will. They will try to make you doubt what you see for yourself. And if you're not strong enough yet, and when you first wake up, you're not strong enough to deal with that. So I highly recommend that you stay quiet for a while. Don't tell anyone. Christ said when he healed the people, go, but tell no one. But they were so excited that they could see, they went and told it anyway. And some people were made to doubt what they saw. do what you want. And we are mentioning this because during counseling by FaceTime or walk-in or phone, a lot of people are like, I didn't know. I thought they were going to love me for this. I thought they would be happy for me. They're not. So I recommend you let it grow, at least let it grow for a while in the light. And then if you happen to mention it, you'll be able to deal with the rejection, the jealousy, the hate of you waking up. All right? So don't tell anyone. Number two, I want you to know, do what you want, in every human being, evil dwells. Evil lives in the nature, human nature. Their thoughts are not their own. They're evil. Their emotions are not their own. They're evil. The ones that make you feel good and the one that makes you feel bad are all evil. You and I and no one on earth has ever created their own thoughts or emotions. But unless you see that, you're going to think it's you because you believe the lie of evil. And I want you to know, for those who are waking up, men and women who are waking up, and there are men and women of all races around the world that hear the message of forgiveness, and they just didn't know. And it made sense, and they went and forgave. But I want you to know, because human nature is evil, they're going to turn on you. Your family members and others will build an army against you. They cannot help it because it's not them. It's something else driving them. And the same thing that was driving you until you woke up and started to recognize that. And so when they build an army against you, and they will, don't fight in their army. Don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. Just continue to work on yourself and go your way. You got to be willing to stand alone, because those people have not discovered the evil spirits that are driving them. And people literally come to me in tears. Jesse, I thought they were my friend. I thought my wife loved me. Or I thought my husband loved me in the wife situation. My boyfriend, the lady say, I thought he loved me. Or my or the man say, my girlfriend. No, they don't. They have no love. Human beings do not have love. It's all fake. Have you noticed that when you pray for a wife or you pray for a girlfriend, or you pray for a boyfriend, ladies, or a husband, your prayer get answered, but because it's on a lower level of prayer, on that level, all you do is pray and get someone to fight with. You get someone to fight with, and the fight begins. Because your prayer are low, on the lower level, not from above, not on the higher level. Because if you had the higher level of prayer, you would never pray for a husband or a wife. You would never pray for anything, knowing that all your needs are met. But you pray on the lower level, that's what you got to get. God, give me a car. I need a car. Oh, Lord. And you get one, either you go in debt for it or you get a clunker. Now you got to pay to keep it going. Same thing with people. So I want you to know, when you truly wake up, your friends, your family, and the world will turn on you. They can't help it. They are evil. They will turn on you. But just remember, they can't help it. They are evil. They are filled with evil spirit. Derek, get the phone for me. They are filled with evil spirits. And they can't help it. Inside everyone, imagination dwells evil. So for those who are hurt, when they turn on you, don't take pride in people turning on you now. Don't be like, oh, I'm a Christian, and they turn on me. Not that. You just want to be aware of what's happening, understanding. Don't get ego about it. But they will turn on you. I want to encourage you, when that does happen, be glad to see it. Because they were always fake anyway. You were fake with them in your fallen state, and they were fake with you. It's never been real. So don't be disappointed to see it. Be glad to see it, but don't hate. Don't hate. Just don't be angry. Leave it out. If they attack you, if they bring up your so-called past, don't argue with them. They want argument so they can get the thrill of hurting you. Don't give the devil room like that. Don't give room to evil. And just know, don't forget this. Every human being, there's not one, is evil. And they play games. And it's not them, but the evil working through them, and they don't know it. Some may even know it, but they love the game. They love the evil. And they don't want to change. And never, never, ever, as long as you walk this earth, never argue with the devil. Don't argue with the devil in your mind, and don't argue with the devil inside of others. They will come looking for you. Human beings who are evil will hunt you down. They will look for you in order to try to hurt you so that they can get a thrill. Don't argue with them. If they do, oh, okay, thank you. And don't argue. You don't need to fight with the devil. You have all authority, men and women, have been given to you by the Father God to defeat evil. You have it already, but you got to lay your weapon down and let the authority work through you to defeat evil, because evil has no authority. It has no power. It's been defeated. But it deceives you, makes you thinking that it's you so you can fight. And the devil wants you to fight with him. He wants that. I want you, and you can pay attention to this and prove me wrong. Oh, Jesse, you're wrong. Don't fight with the people who try to hurt you. Bring up your past or say whatever to stop you from growing. Don't argue with them and see what happens. You can give it a good try. Your ego is not going to want to take it, but take it anyway. Don't give the devil the room. Don't give him the thrill of responding to him in your mind or inside of other human beings. And just know that all thoughts are all lies all the time about anything, and that you don't create thoughts. And I'm telling you this because a lot of people are doing this, and they can't handle it. They're surprised that the people they thought loved them and wished them well, even other Christian friends, they thought, well, I thought they would love me. I thought they cared. They don't. Your own mother don't care. Your mother don't love you. She has no love. She can't love. Human beings do not have love. Their nature is evil. You are possessed. And in that state of being possessed, it makes you think and do the things that you wouldn't ordinarily do, or treat people in a way that you would not ordinarily treat them. And that spirit is jealous. So for around the world, stop telling people. You can't change anyone. You can't even change yourself. Humility and strength is when you realize I can do nothing. Of myself, I own nothing. You don't own your own body. You don't own your own self. You belong to someone else. You were created by someone else. And when you can see that clearly, you will have, that's what humility is, and strength. Because you have the strength to realize you are not in control of anything. You don't know anything, and of yourself, you can do nothing. Humble yourself by realizing that. And not as a game, but to be true. Then you shall have life. Let the spirit of truth guide your life. Because otherwise, the spirit of evil is controlling your life. And it ain't pretty. And every time you pray, it will be nothing but destruction. Dressed as good. And then you find out it ain't real. So, in closing about that, men and women, I hear from men and women. They wake up, they're excited, they run and tell it. You can't change anybody. You can't even change yourself. I was counseling with a woman the other day. Jesse, how can I change my husband? I want him to change. I wish my husband would be like other husbands I see with their wives. And I've told her 1,000 times, you can't change your husband. You can't change yourself. Why don't you humble yourself and realize I'm not in control? And if you're not in control of yourself, how are you going to be in control of someone else? And she was like, well, how do I want him to change? Why? Why do you want anyone else to change, including your adult children, your parents, or anyone? Why do you want that? For your own selfish ego reason. That's not going to work. They have to want it. And then when they want it, then the spirit of truth will do it. And if you are now walking in this, for the lack of a better word, being in this in truth, you're changing. The truth that changed you, if the next person want it, it will help them too. You would be given the words to say or what to do. And it'll be the truth working, not you. Really, if you gotta, men and women, you gotta, and I understand, you're excited, you wake up, you think, wow, I can now see. And then you run and tell, forgive your mama, forgive your daddy, do this and do that, and they don't want it. They get mad at you for telling them to forgive. Oh, hey, my mama, don't talk about my mama. They're not ready for it. There have been people, for the first time visitors, there have been people in the meeting, our fellowship service. They hear these same truth that you heard and you woke up. To them, it makes no sense at all. What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense because they don't have the ears to hear it. Let all those with ears to hear, hear. And most people don't have it. God leave them in their hell, you should too. Don't even want for someone to change. And I don't care how close you're supposed to be to them. Don't want for them to change. Don't pray for them to change. You leave them in their misery and just wish them well. Don't be angry. One other quick thing is manhood, Al. One other quick thing. And I want to encourage you to remember that. Don't forget. If you want to. Anger, frustration, loneliness, stress, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, Asperger, revenge, jealousy, strife, all the stuff you have. Is proof of your own nature. You're not you. When those things come about and you see those things happening inside of you, be aware of that. That is the not you. And don't call it you, but see it, and it will disappear. And when you're moving about, living your life, you're talking to others or you're doing your work, and these things, be aware of what's going on inside of you. Practice being aware. Being aware of what's inside of you, while you're aware of that and going on with your life, you will realize one day, oh man, that's gone now. I forgot about that. It's gone. The awareness is taking it away from you. Be aware, die daily. And die daily meaning as I'm moving through my life through the day, I'm aware of what's going on the inside. Even as I'm talking now, I'm aware of what's going on the inside. And it's that awareness that will destroy the not you. And don't be afraid to be aware of it. Don't be afraid of it. Just see it. And I promise you, you will become free. You can have perfect peace right here on this earth. You don't have to wait to die. And if someone, because they will, if someone try to hurt you, or your thoughts try to hurt you, bring up the past or the so-called future, don't get angry. They can't help it. It's not them. It's evil in them. Just know, I'm talking to an evil person right now. But don't hate them. Understand it. You don't even have to listen to it if you don't want to. But just don't hate them. That's the false self. And you will be made to be free. I promise you that. So stay with it, but just quietly live your life. Don't be running telling it. Don't be trying to save someone. You can't do it. Don't even be hoping that, oh, I wish that they would get it. I want them to have to. Why? You want something for them that they don't even want for themselves. How are you going to pray to God that your husband or your wife or your adult children or your friends change when they don't want it? Don't you know that God can change anyone that wants to change? And he only does it to those who want it. He's not, God is not, or his son, is not sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, I wish that they would change. I want them to want it. You think you have more love than God? They're not wanting or wishing that anyone want it or wish it for it. And neither do I. It doesn't bother me one iota if you want to stay in your hell. When I bring this message to you, it's not even me. I can't save you. So why should I be concerned or even care if you want to change? Leave you in your misery. That's the life you want. And why would I get angry at you because you don't want to change? It doesn't matter your relationship with me, your friendship, brother, sistership, mama, daddy ship, Christian ship, whatever ship, you have a right. You even have a right to pretend you're changing. Okay. So for the people who understand, who know what I'm talking about, cut it out and quietly live your life. Don't let the devil steal the seed before it is watered and fertilizer put on it, and it starts to grow. you will get to the point where no one can touch you. And just know, without ego feelings about it, they got to come after you. In your mind and inside of others, they can't help it. But they won't be able to touch you. The treasure chest is now open on DLive and Stretch Off on Pure.net. When I come back, your phone calls and super chats. Back in a moment.
I just wanted to say that I've been listening to you for a few years now, and you know, when you talk about the illusion of racism and how it's just a divisive tool that the media uses, and it's just good and evil.
Yes.
And that's what we got to focus on. It really has changed my life. My perspective is totally different now. I'm more calm. I'm more peaceful. You know, when you talk about forgiving your mother and letting go of that hate, and it just transforms you. So I just want to thank you for that and let you know that, you know, you really are doing God's work by waking people up with this message.
Amazing, Aaron. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Sure. I can hear the angels in heaven singing right now. They're rejoicing. That's amazing. Stay with the silent prayer. Speak up. Don't resent and doubt every thought. And Aaron, you have not seen anything. Anything. That, folks, who are you that you wish your love would change? Wake up. Who are you that you wish your friends or anyone would change? Think about that. Can you get any dumber than that? Oh, I pray that they change. You may say, what kind of prayer is that? You wanted something for them that they don't even want for themselves. You're praying for something for them that they don't even want for themselves, and then they turn on you and try to hurt you and kill you. Alicia Spirit. So cut it out. Don't want for anyone to change. Don't pray for anyone to change or anything. Just don't hate them. Don't you be mad at the fact that they are evil and they don't want to change. And you just work on you. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. The Hake, H-A-K-E report.com from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then after that, the American Anchor Baby from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And check them out. You don't want to miss. If you out there, you've not heard it? Oh, God. And then at 2 p.m., a brand new episode, live episode of Punchy's TV. Do we have a teaser from last week? Punchy's TV. Okay, no, we don't. Thank you. You know what I mean? You can call in to them and everything. All right? I want to go to... And check out our merch, by the way, folks. Go to rebuildingtheman.com/stores or jesseleepeterson.shop. Amazing merch over there, all right? I appreciate it. Let me go to Darius. I asked Darius to call back, right, Darius? Darius out of Michigan. Darius, you're on the air. Darius. Hey, Darius. Hello, it's me. I was wondering if you, Derek, he's on mute. Okay, I put him on hold. Let me know. Hold on, Derek. It sounds like you might be on mute. Let me go to Jalen out of Arkansas. Jalen, you are on the air.
Hello, how's it going, Jesse?
All is well, Jalen.
Yeah, Jesse, I've been listening to you for some years now, And I will say, you know, I'm 31. Recently, I've kind of taken a lifestyle change, and, you know, I have to attribute that a part of listening to you. And, you know, I agree with 90% of what you say. But recently, especially in the last year, on the whole Israel topic, Jesse, I've just been wildly disappointed in you. Like, you struck me as someone who did not believe in all the identity politics.
Right.
And the question, you know, playing kowtowing to Israel, what we're doing with Israel, is identity politics on steroids, Jesse. We're literally going into wars, the Iraq war. We assassinated Muammar Gaddafi, our war with Iran that's incoming. We're doing that on behalf of Israeli identity politics. So the question I wanted to ask you, Jesse, was a lot of, I know you're Christian, I'm a Christian as well. A lot of Christians support Israel because they're so-called God's chosen ones. My question to you, Jesse, do you think God's chosen people would allow rampant homosexuality, gay pride parades, men walking around in scantily clad downtown Tel Aviv? Do you think God would allow abortion amongst his chosen people? And do you think he would allow his chosen people to commence the genocide that Israelis are currently commencing in? Do you think that sounds like God's chosen people, Jesse?
And I do want to respond to that. But so you're at war with Israel? Do you live in Palestine or something?
No, I live in Arkansas.
Are you at war with Israel?
No. I'm at war with
When you say we are at war, are you saying you are the Palestine? I don't understand how we are at war with Israel.
I'll clarify that. What okay. I mean by we're at war, I meant the American government is going on war on behalf of Israel in, you know, these needless conflicts, primarily in the Middle East, but really around the world. We're fighting for their interests.
So you're saying that America and Israel are at war somewhere together? Where are we fighting a war?
Well, the attacks we did in Iran, the recent war with Iraq.
I'm talking about now. Where are we fighting with Israel in war?
Did you hear about the recent attacks we did in Iran? We struck Iran. You know, there were a bunch of attacks, you know, missile attacks and all that nonsense.
And that was for us because Iran could nuclear weapon can destroy any nation that it wanted, especially America and Israel. But where are we, America? And you're saying America is at war with Israel against other countries, right?
Yes.
Where
yes.
is that?
Well, most recently, Iraq. We also assassinated the dictator of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi.
Yeah, on behalf you're not of answering my question. Where is America at war with Israel fighting another country?
Currently, I would say with Iran, even though that's on ice right now. But currently, to answer your question, I don't know about any conflicts happening right now globally, but historically, it's happened multiple times, and there's evidence to suggest that it's going to happen in the very near future.
But no, it's not happening now, though, right?
It happened just about a month ago. Whenever
it's not
Trump
happening attacked. Now, right?
Oh, fair point. Okay. It's not happening right now at this exact moment, but it is impending.
And what is impending?
War with Iran on behalf of Israel.
So right now America is impending to go to war with Iran?
Yes, again. We're flirting.
But how can you worry about something that's not happening?
Well, because it could mean nuclear annihilation for everybody. And I do want to push back on something you said earlier.
But that's not happening. Why are you concerned about something that's not happening? I agree with you in that war is not good, and war is an ego trip of human nature, and it's all suffering for the thrill. I do agree with all that. But America is not at war, and Donald Trump is working very hard not to go to war.
Okay, and that's fair. And if Trump is able to avoid war with Iran, I'd say, hey, let's maybe consider giving the man a Nobel Peace Prize.
If anyone can do that, the Great White Hope can and is.
Possibly. Very, very much so possible.
Yeah, so but don't Jesse, worry about something that's not happening.
Well, I wanted you to answer my question.
And then as far as the senators in Israel, you have that in every country. You have those people who are working on themselves, they're overcoming evil, and you have those who are not working on themselves and they love evil. There's nothing. Israel is not responsible for that. Those individuals are.
But don't you think if they're saying they're God's chosen people, they should be held to a higher standard?
No.
And I can understand a little thing.
No, you should never hold anyone to any standard.
Not even God's chosen one.
No. What gives you the right? What gives you the right to hold anyone to any standards?
Well, they're holding themselves to the God's chosen people.
I know,
standard.
But what give you
to attack Palestinians and commit genocide, Jesse? They're using that.
Jay Lur.
Yes.
Let's take it one step at a time. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to understand. What give you the right to hold God's, as you said, chosen people to a standard?
Oh, well, I don't believe they're God's chosen people. I'm just
You said it, though. What gives you the right to hold them to a standard?
Well, I'm holding them to their own standard that they're setting. They're setting the standard that
they're
God's
chosen. Why are you doing that? What gives you the right to hold them to their standard?
Well, I'm using it to point out a contradiction. The contradiction is
you're not using this as a standard. But it's a contradiction that you will hold anyone to any standard. What gives you the right to hold them to a standard?
Well, Jesse, think about it like this. If someone makes a claim about who they are, but the evidence of their life suggests that they're not what they claim to be, me pointing that out is not necessarily holding them to any standard except the standard that they're a bunch of liars. Now, I do think they're a bunch of liars.
And what gives you the right to point that out?
Because they're using that pretext as a way to genocide Palestinians. They're using that as a way to control the American government. They're using that pretext of being God's chosen people to lots of good faith Christians like me, like you, and a lot of Christians fall for it.
Fall for what?
Fall for the lie that they're God's chosen people and therefore support any lie, any genocide, any degeneracy on behalf of the Israelis.
And you're saying that Israel is doing a genocide on somebody?
Absolutely, yes.
Like who?
The Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
How do you know it's a genocide?
Unless the media is lying about it, and the media does lie. So
right.
We'd
have the media told the truth about anything.
that's a fair point.
Yeah.
But typically, if everybody's reporting it and everybody's saying the same thing from right-wing media sources to left-wing media sources.
All media is not reporting that. Some
well,
media,
except the ones owned
some
by
media
Israel.
Some media telling you one their opinion about it and other media telling you their opinion. Why do you take side, period?
Oh, well, it's not that I'm taking a side, but whenever
you call them genocide and they're not God's chosen people, why are you doing that?
Well, because as a Christian, when I see wrong, when I see children being murdered, when I see food and medical supplies being blockaded from Palestinian citizens, as a Christian, I feel like I'm wrong if I don't speak on that.
Why
did you hear about the church?
Why do you feel like you're wrong? If you don't speak up, why not be quiet and let them do what they do to you? This is hell on earth. Why do you have to speak on it at all?
Well, because I don't like milquetoast Christianity. I think Christians need to start speaking up.
But isn't it milquetoast to take a side? You're taking a side.
Well, no, I'm a firebrand, Jesse. I'm a firebrand. I don't believe in milquetoast Christianity.
But
I don't believe
God
in,
tell you not to take a side for anyone, neither agree nor disagree.
Well, by that logic, Jesse, you wouldn't have a show. You're constantly giving your side.
No, I don't. I don't take sides.
Oh, come on, Jesse. I think you take sides on multiple things.
I don't, man. I really don't.
Well,
why did God say not to take a side at all?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do it as a Christian? Why do you take sides?
Well, if someone like the people of Israel, and I don't hate anybody.
Right.
I don't do that number. But if someone is using God, claiming God as a way to cover up their sins, cover up their degeneracy, or use that claim of God to run our government, as an American citizen, I feel like I should speak up about that, Jesse.
Why do you take sides? You're not telling me why you take sides.
Well, because I'm on the side of truth. I think I'm on the side of righteousness.
But if you were on the side of truth, it would be impossible to agree to be for or against.
I don't agree with that, Jesse. Yeah, I don't see things that way.
Why not?
I think if you're on the
why not?
Because I think if righteousness sits on the sidelines while evil plays on the court, then evil wins.
No,
I think if you're on the team, righteous, you should speak proud. You should speak boldly in favor of that righteousness.
But you said you were disappointed in someone, right?
Did I say that? I may have.
Yeah. Why should you be disappointed in anyone or anything?
Because sometimes we hold people to certain expectations in our head. I said I was disappointed in you, Jesse. Yeah, because I had an expectation.
Oh, yeah, about
head.
The Israel thing, right?
Yeah, Well, because I agree with what you say about the blacks and how blacks make excuses for themselves. But when it came to Israel, it's like you forgot everything you said. Israel, I think they're worse than the blacks, and the blacks are bad. It's pretty hard to be worse than the blacks. But Israel somehow manages to be worse than the blacks. Because
but so
blacks
you say
are,
all Jews are the same?
No, not all Jews.
But
all
countries, you have people divided, right? So what's the difference with Israel being divided than people being divided? And because there are people in Israel that disagree with Netanyahu, and there are those who agree with him.
Well, the difference is they come over here, they take over industries in the financial sector, in the music industry. They push degenerate music onto the black community. A lot of these rappers and hip-hop artists that we see being pushed to black people.
Whose fault is that? Is that the black people's fault or their fault? In our own country, blacks are doing that to blacks. Whose fault is it that they allow the individual allow that to happen?
Well, it's largely people from that community.
No,
they're
whose fault is it, though, that they're allowed? Sound like the black people about the white people. Well, the black people blame the white people for their, oh, you made us do this. You caused us to become sinners. You caused us.
I can understand how you come to that conclusion. And ultimately, I'll say, now, blacks have to take accountability and say, hey, we swallowed the poison pill. If somebody offers you a poison pill and you swallow it, it's your fault. But I would say,
let's say that the Jews bring some stuff into our country, and I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, but whose fault is it that the people pick it up? You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. And that's where blacks fall wildly short, because we just fall for the stupidest of stupidest things.
Yeah.
But that's another conversation. But that gives Israel and people of that ancestry no right to make the claim that they're God's chosen people. And
why
further,
not?
No right to
but
come over
here. But what give you the right to say that they're not?
Because I don't like how they control our government.
You
if
don't
you
like
Marjorie
it.
Taylor
well,
Green
because
said,
of time, and I got so many calls, Jalen. What give you the right to say they are not God's chosen people?
Well, one, because they're not. And two, did you see Marjorie Taylor Greene? Even she got on Megyn Kelly's show and said, for Republican congressmen, they have an AIPAC representative. Before they make any decision, before they make any laws, they have to consult with their AIPAC representative. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Jalen,
what
gives you the right to say that they are not God's chosen people?
Because God says you'll know him by the fruit he bears. Okay.
That's what
you'll
give
know
you
tree.
The right
you'll
to
know,
say they're not God's
you'll know
chosen
a tree
people.
By the fruit it bears. What? Say that one more
is
time.
That's what give you the right to say the Jews are not God's chosen
yes,
people.
Yes, because they are not bearing godly fruit. They are bearing fruits of evil, fruits of genocide, fruits of homosexuality, fruits of abortion.
Do you love the Jews?
Yes, I do love the Jews. I love everybody. I just
How
don't
about
like
the Jews. You love the Jews?
Yes, I do love the Jews. I just don't like what they do.
Do you and why have an opinion about what they do then if you love them?
Because what they're doing impacts me and my government, and I love my country, and I don't want
to
see
well,
my country
fall
down.
Are they to blame that your country worked with them?
Wait, say that one more time.
Are they to blame that your country worked with them?
No, that's these sorry politicians that run my country.
So why don't you run for office and get those politicians out of there?
Oh, man, I'm too black. They ain't going to vote for me. They ain't ready for me.
You don't know that. Jalen, I got to run. I appreciate your call.
All right, Jesse. It was a pleasure, man. You have a good one.
You too, buddy. 888-7753-773. Let me go to David out of Texas. David, you are on the air.
Hello, Jesse. How are you doing, sir?
All this way, David.
Okay, real quick, I'll answer your Bible question.
How have you treated yourself all of your life?
I've treated myself. There are two parts of my life, without God and now with God. So without God, I treated myself terrible, and with God, I treat myself better now.
Without God, you treat yourself terrible, and now you, with God, you treat yourself better?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
because what I have learned from God, I went on and taught my sons, and now my sons reveal what I have learned from God.
Right on. What part of Texas are you in?
El Paso, Texas, right on the border.
El Paso?
Yes, sir, right on the border.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Yeah.
Thank you, David. I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. Thank you so much, all right?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Super chat.
Super chat.
Eric Five Coffees, Raja Jackson's behavior, a perfect example of the difference between knowing and thinking. Underneath thoughts is knowing not to hurt people, but thoughts distract us from common sense and control our behavior, says Eric.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Mike Young bought a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Hey, Jesse, remember that white lady who called the black child the so-called N-word? Guess what? She's being arrested, and of course, the angry blacks are rejoicing. What a mess.
What a sad way to live. I heard that. We reported on that. Thank you.
I didn't know she was being arrested. I heard
she
was being charged.
I didn't know she was being arrested either. I was surprised this morning to hear that she was being charged.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Dave from Chicago, Five Coffees, talking with someone. The topic of feelings came up. Said we're not our feelings. We're not supposed to be. And then I watched hell come bursting out of them, trying to defend having feelings and saying things like, we need feelings and they're from God. What the?
I know.
They were fighting to keep their feelings. What they were feeling was miserable.
Yeah.
Still, I don't blame or resent them at all because I was asleep and lost once too. Love you, Jesse. Love you all, JLP crew.
Thank you. You stay with us, stay with us, stay with it. Thanks for your support.
Anita, now a member on the JLP channel.
Right on. Thank you, Anita. Much I appreciate it.
Yeah. Muchas gracias. Yeah. King Alpha Nerd here again. When Jesse was talking about praying for a man or woman, it reminded me of that episode of The Twilight Zone, The Chaser. Roger used a love potion to put in Layla's drink. She was so in love with him. It was too much, and it was exhausting for me. That's why you shouldn't wish or look. Just let it happen organically, because what you get will be not what you wanted.
I rest my case. Thank you. That's deep.
Pastor Chatelet on Pilled.net gifted the cookie. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Chatelet. I appreciate it.
10 coffees from Eric. Coffees are just super chats, okay? Green, great monologue. Don't fight with evil in others in the mind makes perfect sense to me. Contradiction is where you tell whites to stand up to the blacks. That's dangerous advice. Didn't work out well for that guy and gal in Cincinnati, did it?
No, what I'm telling the white people is that you can't have fear. You shouldn't have fear. You can't have it if you want it. But fear draws your enemy closer to you to destroy you. Just don't have the fear, you know, and don't be afraid to speak up. Don't act all weak because you're making the blacks want to hurt you. And if you don't have fear, the blacks will go away and they'll continue to fight with the Mexican, and the Mexican ain't going to put over that. But that's all I'm saying. Thank you, though.
Thank you, Eric. He says, best note to notice evil in others and remove yourself from the situation.
That, too. Absolutely.
Nick.
Yeah.
Nick LaBoy on Rumble Rant. Not all, but most. Blacks focus on materialism, emotions, tribalism, hate, envying white success while rejecting God and lacking humility and willpower to achieve.
Absolutely. And there are some blacks are starting to hear about, I am like my mother. I do get angry like her. I am emotional like her, men and women. And they're starting to wake up. So we got to keep putting forgiveness out there, the truth out there, and some will hear, most will not. Thank you.
Kayla, 3 coffees. Amazing show today. A coworker took me to lunch for my birthday, and our whole hour basically tried to convince me that I'm on the wrong path. Didn't faze me one iota, zero emotion. It was amazing.
Right on. That's right. Thank you.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And shout out to the top contributors on the D Live crew.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah. Kilo Alpha Tango, Games for Rec, Potleaf, Groovy Monkey, Greenwall, and the rest of the supporters, as always. Piece in the Puzzle says, Jesse, you say all humans are evil. Why isn't Israel evil? He asks.
All humans, including the people of Israel. What the? All humans are evil. And Israel, it's a country they live in, right?
Right.
Israel is the location. The people are the people living in the location called Israel. Amazing. Thank you.
And shout out to Piece in the Puzzle, Age of Inversion, Old Saucy, T-Fly Monkey, Slave to Him, Old Saucy. Piece in the Puzzle says, if all thoughts and opinions are evil, why do you have a show where we discuss thoughts and feelings, Jesse? Why not just live in your peace all alone?
What? I don't understand that.
Thank you for your super chat, Piece in the Puzzle.
Yeah,
we tried.
Thank you, Piece in the Puzzle.
Call in if you can.
Yeah.
Some tomorrow. Thank you, Pastor Chatelet, and the rest of the supporters over there on the Rumble crew, as well as the Pilled.net and everywhere else. And thank you, guys. I do believe that that may be all for now. Sorry.
Thank you. Amazing. I am so out of time here. But listen, just quietly live your life. And when they attack you, don't get ego-filling from it. Just know that they're evil and they can't help it. Don't argue with them. Don't try to prove anything to them. Don't agree with them. Okay, thank you, bye. And evil will leave. Don't argue with the evil in your own mind. Lay your weapon down and don't try to save anyone. Don't try to prove anything. Why don't you be free? And the devil will come after you inside of others and in your own mind, but you'll be free. All right, I am out of time. The Hate Report is coming up now. And then after that, the American Anchor, baby. Thanks for your super chat, your support, your donation, and everything. Troy out of Minnesota, and Rick out of Hampton, and whomever else that's hanging up. I appreciate you. I'll be back tomorrow. The Lord is willing and the creeds are right. Bible Thumper Thursday already. Tomorrow. Amazing. Hate Report is coming up now. There was a shooting in Minnesota, right?
Yes, Trump said the FBI is on it. That there's an active shooter in Minneapolis or somewhere in Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota. Anybody dead?
I don't know answer to that one.
Amazing. Thank you all. Bye. God's kingdom comes.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
I read or heard that some Republicans are starting to pull their advertisement from Google or whomever, right? Because so many conservatives are being shut down, discriminated against, shadow ban and all that kind of stuff. So conservatives are starting to fight back. It is happening to us, too. I'm just taking it one day at a time. But you can go to jlptalk.com and find all the ways to support us. You can check out rebuildingdemand.com and support our nonprofit organization. You can call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share, and Sunny. And also, we have the fallenstate.tv. Ring the bell.